station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Vacation Countdown Guy.
Mr. Vacation Countdown Guy.
We all enjoy going on vacation, but you enjoy reminding everyone at the office every 10 minutes that your vacation is just weeks, then days, then hours, then minutes away.
Yes, we're counting down to.
Why do you, Mr. Vacation Countdown Guy, think the entire accounting department gives a flying rip about the precise time remaining before you leave for Cancun?
All-inclusive obnoxiousness.
We just pray you get sick.
Montezuma's revenge, yeah.
So the next time you're at a meeting and a guy says, I won't miss these meetings when I'm on vacation, give him a knowing nod, acknowledging that you can't wait for him to be gone either, because he's Mr. Vacation Countdown Guy, a real American hero.
Mr. Vacation Countdown Guy.
What does that loser do around here anyway?
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Kara. It's Wednesday, December 8th. My wife's birthday.
Woo!
Happy birthday, my wife.
Aww.
I love you, my wife. I hope she's listening.
Aww.
But it's her birthday. Why would she be listening? I don't know. She should be having fun. So this is interesting because her twin sister is in town and they both have birthdays.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Time.
So
it's a double birthday.
Are they both? What's the birthday plans?
I don't know. The girls in the family already have plans for them. So.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Yeah.
For them to do their mutual thing, right?
Yeah, kind of a thing, and I'm not included because I have a penis, so I'm not part of the party.
That's funny.
So yeah, so they should have a lot of fun and stuff, and so it's exciting, and yeah.
So wait a minute. Okay, so she's doing something with her sister and like the girls.
Right.
And that's not the main thing.
No, it's not the main thing. We're gonna get together and all that stuff.
And then you're gonna do something for her, right?
Yeah, right.
Did you figure out where you're taking her?
Well, we're gonna go. I don't know, within the next few days, because there's people in town and shit. You know, mm-hmm. There's a lot going on. So we'll go out together after it quiets down a little bit.
Are you gonna take her somewhere like?
Oh yeah.
Like just you two, like a getaway?
Yeah, probably something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or some other.
I mean, you have to tell us where if she's listening, but.
You'll know. If we go, you'll know.
No. Well, I want to know now.
Yeah,
like it's my
but
birthday.
I haven't figured it out yet. I figured, you know, again, these are decisions you don't just make on your own. You got to make them with the other person, you know.
Mm.
You can't just plan to go somewhere and then they don't like it or something, you know.
Yeah.
So you want to.
So you said, what are you doing right now?
What?
Oh, I thought maybe somebody's calling in.
No, nobody's calling in. I just want to say this.
They say it's your birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
There you go. So that's for my wife.
Aww. How does it feel saying my wife? That just seems like such a sweet thing.
Why?
No, just, you know, if somebody says... That's my wife. How sweet it is to be like, oh, you have a wife. You know what I mean?
You're not alone. Yeah, it depends what connotations the word comes with, you know?
Yeah, I guess that's true. You're like, my wife. I think that's such a sweet
Some
thing.
Some people I don't think like the word very much.
Yeah, I know. Most of the dating men in L.A.
Or people that are married but not happily, you know?
Yeah, that's true. My wife. I think it's really sweet, though. Or to say my husband. I don't know. I never think of the word my husband.
No, huh?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. I know. I can't see you saying my husband.
Really? It's not a good sign.
Forever single.
That's not a good sign. My husband, really? Hey, everyone. This is my husband. It doesn't sound natural on me. So I have to talk to my husband first.
Yeah.
I hate that line. One of my friends is like, I have to talk to my husband.
Really?
Well, I know his name, she'll say his name, but still.
Yeah, well, you know, you'd appreciate it when you are married because you'll see that that's exactly how it works, you know? You're partners now.
Shit.
Yeah, you can't do things on your own anymore. You have to consult.
Mm.
Well, that's the way it is, you know, but everything comes with a price. But I think it's worth it, you know. All in all, it's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. So my little dating adventures, they're starting to pick up. So the guys are biting and chomping at the bit. And,
well, obviously. That's what we would expect.
That's what we're going for, people. And I'm getting a lot of younger guys, and you know that's not normally my thing, mm-hmm. but there's one in particular that it's like he's funny and he's on top of it and he's smart and he seems pretty cool. I mean, I don't really know him, but, you know,
right.
I think we may go out. And anyway, so he's like 26.
Mm.
26.
Okay, that's not much younger.
It's not that it's much younger. It's that age.
Yeah.
The age bracket.
Yeah.
Like, if I was 39 and he was 36, not a big deal.
Different, huh?
But 26 and 29, do you think that's a big deal?
No.
Nah?
Nah.
Because I'm, like, really mature.
Yeah. but well, maybe he is, too. You know, you don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, give it a try. What the hell, you know?
26. Oh.
Yeah, but I mean,
he's a good-looking guy. But I'm like,
yeah, but that's the thing. I mean, you don't want to, you know, start looking for things that are going to sabotage this, you know?
No, I know, but I mean, it's just not. I mean, and normally, like, if a guy will send me a message or something, or right. you know, even if he's good-looking, the first thing, and this is maybe shallow, but guys do their things too. I don't mean to be. I'm just being honest because I know guys have their thing. I obviously look at their religion orientation.
Uh-huh.
That's huge. But so I look at that. But even before I get to that, because that's on the right side of the page, I go height, age, and if those things aren't in a certain area, I don't even look at the picture.
Really?
I don't even like go down to the picture.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It's just a quick like.
Okay, so obviously it is important to you, significant to you as far as the age.
Yeah, this one fell through the cracks. I don't know how I didn't pick up on it because he looks older and he kind of acts, he seems like an older person. So I just mm-hmm. thought he was like 35 or something.
Yeah.
And it turns out the boy is.
Well, good for you. You've taken the plunge and you see it's working.
Well, he's 26.
You gotta put yourself out there.
We haven't even gone out yet, but I'll let you guys know how it goes.
Yeah.
It's just like the young ones generally, I mean, it's like they're starting to kind of like, I don't know, the young ones. I'm not much older, but
yeah.
It's still, it feels, I'm used to dating guys in their 40s or 30s.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I had a 25-year-old girlfriend when I was 21.
Oh, you did?
Know? Yeah, we had like a 5-year difference. And that's big. I mean, between 21 and 25.
Those are really
26.
Developmental years, too.
Right, yeah. But we had a great time, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, don't think about it as like,
I'm going to
get married from this, you know? So then the age doesn't matter if you're just dating and all that.
Well,
you know,
I mean, so. I don't know what's going to happen. We haven't even gone out
that's
with the
what
guy.
I'm saying. So give
I'm
it
just
a
saying,
chance.
I'm just saying else, it's not normally what I would even halfway entertain.
Right.
But he kind of crept in. Mm-hmm. I let the age thing slip and I'm like, oh, he's kind of cool. So let's see.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys that are 26, though, 26, isn't that an interesting age? Like, on a guy, it's just, like, what do they know? But he's smart. This guy is, he's like an aerotechnology type person.
Really?
Neuroscience,
wow.
Aerotechnology.
How do people get into that shit?
I don't know, man. It's totally opposite of me. I mean, opposite.
Yeah, Miss Artist here.
Yeah. I'll try to school him on some meteorology.
Yeah.
I'll tell him no, it's not right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's funny.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So is he the only one that interests you so far?
Well, there is this other guy that which is interesting. He's super good looking. He does fit the height requirement and the age bracket I was looking for. But no, he's very funny,
yeah.
And he's the guy that wanted more photos of me, And he, because my photos didn't have very up close face shots.
Right.
So he wanted to make sure I wasn't deformed.
Right.
And didn't show up and we hang out. So I was kind of put off a bit by it because I just, you know, you don't know who's on the other end of everything. You just don't know. And guys tend to have this thing where they just like pictures and they want to see more photos. And they, guys are just very visual, and it's almost a passive, lazy thing. It's like, get off your ass and go take a girl out. You know? Like,
yeah.
You know.
It's, but you see, guys are concerned with what people are going to say. You know, that's why, you know, they want to be seen with a beautiful woman.
Well.
That's why you have those trophy wives and shit.
You know. I make a man look good, if you know what I'm saying. So, you know, I make a brother stand up a little taller, if you know what I'm saying. So, walk a little taller. So, he doesn't need to stress out about that. But we've never met. So, we were going back and forth. We had talked on the phone, and he was actually pretty cool. He's like, look, you know, I've been burned, and girls don't look the way they look in their photos. I said, hey, I can understand that, but it's really not my responsibility to come from the place of having to disprove. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I said, so we were already fighting, which I love. We were, like, already arguing. And then I sent him a photo of my up close face, but it was in direct sunlight where it blurred out my face and all you saw were lips and eyelashes some golden hair.
Yeah.
It looked really cool, but you couldn't see my face, so I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
So you know
and that probably irritated him.
So I sent him that one. It looked pretty, but it was obviously you couldn't make out anything. Yeah. I sent him that one, and then I just kind of got turned off by the whole thing. I found it a little bit humiliating a bit, so I
really
he's
judging me like I'm a package or something.
Well, and I understand you want to know what the person looks like, but it's online dating,
right?
It's called risk taking. And I said, you know what, I want to be somebody who's assertive and who is a risk taker and who's confident, and you know, you're in online dating, and if you don't have if you're not piqued interest enough to meet the person, then you shouldn't even continue. Like,
right.
I'm not going to be like, pick me. Because I think it's the same thing as me saying, and I wrote this back to him. I said, he said, oh, are you going to send your photo? He even followed up to make sure I was going to send his photo. And I was like, turned off. I was so turned off. So I wrote back, yeah, I'll be sure to send it, and make sure you send over that, your bank statements and your penis size, length and girth.
Penis picture.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a
but
good
he,
idea.
But he, and what car do you drive, by the way? Because it's the same feeling, I think.
Right,
it's probably
the
same feeling. Guys complain all the time about women only like this and women only want this and da 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 da. But guys have their things that they want. They want this. They want that. They want these outrageous measurements on a woman and a certain look. And they want her to be independent yet somewhat needy. It's like there's all these different things on both sides that are like, this is really unrealistic, people. Like, somebody's going to have to give here, and it's not me. So, no, anyway, so
you're not gonna give
it's a
in.
Joke. It's a joke, of course. So,
now, what's with the height requirement? I never knew you were concerned with that.
Oh, I like being with really tall men.
Really tall men.
Yeah, I mean, I've dated my last
6 foot and
my last above. Boyfriend was actually only like 5'11",
mm-hmm.
like maybe even 5'10", 5'11", and that was like super short for me.
Yeah, so that's like a deal breaker for you?
It's not a deal breaker, but it's close.
Really?
It's
wow,
like
that's
just
interesting.
It's just like if a man were to say, I like a woman that is, I prefer brunettes, or I prefer a certain size on a woman, or whatever it is. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And it's not that you wouldn't consider someone else that isn't that, but that's what you're going to look, you're going to just gravitate towards.
Wow.
So yeah, that's I tend to... like really big men,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, very tall and muscular.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like big warriors.
We'll
very
find
muscular,
someone for you.
Very tall.
Yeah.
My last boyfriend wasn't that tall, but he was super buff.
Mm.
But again, like, I've dated guys that weren't. I mean, I dated this rocker dude one time who was really tall. He was 6'4", but he was kind of like he wasn't very, he was like lean.
Mm.
He wasn't muscular.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I fit with a big guy. I think it works.
Yeah.
Feels right. Feels good. Feels like a match.
Yeah.
Feels very
well,
cozy.
Whatever feels comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, that's where you should be.
So anyway, this guy, I wrote him a text. I said, listen, I think that, you know, you're a cool guy. You're probably whatever. And I'm a cool girl, but I'm already really turned off by the energy of all this. And it's a bit.
Really?
A bit,
you told him that?
I said, it's a bit degrading. And I said, I'd rather just, you know, don't say we did. And I said, so good luck, no hard feelings. And he wrote back, what? We have total chemistry. I don't understand what you're talking about. I'm like, obviously not enough chemistry where you want to go out yet. I mean, not that he doesn't want to go out, but obviously not enough chemistry You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, it was good to almost meet you and da 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 da. And so then I wrote back. I wrote him a text back, like, you know, something smirky and cute. And then I did send a picture of just my face, like, that was just normal picture. Like, ha ha ha. And then I finally sent it. And I said, nice meeting you and having our first fight and everything. Ta-ta. And then I'm like, gorgeous photo, right? And I send it. And he's like, you're totally beautiful. And now he's still texting me. And I thought this was done.
Uh-huh.
Like, it was done yesterday. And now he's still texting.
No, you just opened up the doors for him when you actually sent him the picture.
Well, you know what? That's
now
what he gets.
Thinks, yeah, you're interested.
No, well, he can just see what he missed out on because he had to be a little diva.
Oh, well. That's a big loss.
Oh, well. Oh, well.
A big loss.
Big loss to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But guys, I mean, women have their own little standards and preferences, and so do men. And I think you have to kind of ask yourself, you know, what are priorities?
Right.
What are deal breakers and what aren't? I mean, at the end of the day, if a guy's not 6'5", it's not a deal breaker.
Right.
If he is 5'5", it's a deal breaker.
Right. Yeah, that's short. You know.
I mean, I just, you know.
Yeah. You just like them big so they can embrace you and everything and cuddle
yeah,
with
yeah.
you.
And, yeah. A big, strong man. Yeah. Big, strong, strapping man. Veins on his arms. Nice, some nice droplets of sweat on his brow.
That's what you like, huh?
Yeah.
Do you want him to work in construction too?
That's actually kind of hot, I think. I mean, I want him to be able to make more money than that, but there's something kind of hot about it.
They make a lot of money, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. This guy's, he's, I think, a contractor or a carpenter. Like, he's, I think he, like, manages these sites. His trade is in carpentry, but I think he has a business where he manages stuff, which means he's got tools.
Oh, he's got tools. And you like that.
And he's got a hammer.
Uh-huh.
I bet he has a hammer.
Yeah.
I bet he wears a hammer around his waist, huh?
Around his waist. Does anybody do that anymore?
I don't know, like a little tool belt. That's kind of cute. A tool belt with tools in it and stuff and like a measuring tape.
So you're drawn to blue color pretty much, right?
I just like masculinity.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, guys that wear power suits and they work it, that's attractive too.
Mm, okay.
But I don't think there's any, I mean, I think most women would agree. I mean, whether or not this is what they want to be with, but they is not what I'm saying. But most women, I think, like a man that can fix something. And yeah, they do. Yeah. Women are like, can you mow a lawn? Can you change a light bulb? Can you fix the drain? Can you? And they like if there's something really attractive about a man that likes being a man and does those things.
Well.
Like even if a man, like when men outsource those projects and they're like afraid of doing it. And they're like, oh, I'll pay to have it done or something.
Right.
I understand there's some stuff you can't do. It's not your skill set. But guys that just, you know, even throw money at it, that's not very sexy.
Yeah.
There's something about a man knowing how to take two rocks and fire or whatever.
Yeah, fuck that shit, man. I'll pay for them to do anything, for crying out loud.
No, I know. Yeah. I know, but I mean...
You know, I'm lazy.
Well, you know, you're not what I'm talking about.
No, I throw money at it for sure.
But you
want guys that are not like that. That's fine, you know? I mean,
but you like
totally
you like to fix your little toys in here, like your microphones, and you make sure everything's really
but
nice.
But it's not fixing it, you know. I mean, if I had to mow the lawn, if I don't enjoy it, I would hate it.
Yeah.
You know? But no, I mean, I do things around the house. I mean, you know, I was like running wires, like electrical wires, like
See, that's kind of sexy.
Or like cables and stuff,
yeah,
you know,
go
for
with,
the TV
good,
and video
good.
And stuff like that.
That's kind of sexy.
And I can't believe, because we've got like a real huge heavy piece in the living room where the TV sits. So to try and run cables behind it is nearly impossible. And I did all of that with a fucking broomstick, believe it or not. I could reach behind. I was unplugging cables. I was running them through holes.
But the
holes
fact that
and
you're
everything.
On this like mission and this journey and you're probably sweating a bit.
Yeah.
And you're like, now irritated. Maybe you're a little pissed.
Yeah, very
totally
pissed.
Hot. There's something about that. There's something about a man.
Yeah, it doesn't,
you know,
feel like it. Let me tell
like
you.
He's like a little pissed off because he's facing a challenge. Something's challenging his masculine nature.
Oh, God.
And, yeah, there's something really sexy in that.
Yeah. I mean, I was ready to fucking bring somebody to do it, but I thought, you know, no, I'm going to do this, you know. Sometimes I'm just like, you know, when I have a task or something, I'm just like so focused on it that I've just got to do it, you know? Even if it irritates the shit out of me, I've got to finish it, you know?
Yeah, I know. I think
and sometimes people that know me say, take a break, you know? I mean, come back to it later.
Well, you're kind of weird, too. Like, I mean, you're a little bit like...
I'm a little weird.
You know, like, yeah, I'm a lot I could weird. See you kind of like, be like, no, and like, your eyes are red, you're pissed off, you're in the zone. You probably get like in those obsessive zones.
Yeah, yeah.
A bit obsessive.
But yeah, you know, I mean, I just like scream and stuff when there's nobody around, and that's it. That lets off the steam, you know?
Let me ask you, but going back to, like, the preferences and things like that, don't you think, do you agree with this statement?
Yeah.
It seems as though it's most men have a lot of requirements with women when it comes to physicalities, attributes.
Absolutely.
And then women... but yet it seems like the men are the ones that bitch the most about women and their standards. Mm. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's like, it seems like guys have long lists of things that they want in women. And then when they're shot down or they've come into road bumps with women and not meeting their standards, men are like, women only want this. They only want that. But I feel like they don't see how it's very, very both sides of the coin.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it happens on both sides.
Yeah. It's both sides. But I'm wondering if men see that it's both sides or if they just because I feel like there's a weird kind of ego thing where it's like I'm a man, I'm allowed to have these standards, but the women have to just be embracing of everything. You know?
No. Well, it depends. I think that obviously varies from one person to the other.
But I mean,
so
generally,
I don't know if it's a general thing, you know. No? I can't say it is, but I definitely have to agree with you that as far as looks and stuff, men have high requirements.
I mean, and they don't even, here's the thing, they're unapologetic about it. Like, like women are kind of like, well, I kind of liked it. Like, even me, I'm like, well, it's not a deal breaker because I feel bad if I say, yeah, he needs to be at least 6 foot.
Mm-hmm.
At least, and that's kind of short.
Right.
You know?
Kind of short, 6 foot?
Yeah.
Really?
Both
then
these
I'm
dudes,
a fucking dwarf. 5'8".
We're not in a relationship.
No, I know. So I know.
Cool.
I'm just
I'm
saying,
cool with your height.
No, but you're giving me like standards and stuff, and I never thought of 6 foot as short. But I guess it's all
short.
Relative.
It's not
you know?
Short. I'm saying it's the shorter end of what I'd like him to be.
I see. Okay.
But this is all stuff that at the end of the day, I mean, honestly, you know, that's preference, but it's not. I mean, ultimately, where's the person's heart? I mean, I know now I'm trying to.
No, obviously, but you should be allowed to have physical preference. Yeah.
But I mean, like I said, my last boyfriend was like 5'10". He was a great, great, great guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very fun, very funny dude.
Yeah. You're just saying if you get a choice, if you get to choose, then you'd rather have a taller one.
Yeah, and it all boils down to like someone's heart, because I know that. There's at the end of the day, I mean, people are people, and you get past the looks and you get past the frills and everything, and you are like, wow.
People are people.
But so I think that women are more kind of sheepish about it, and men are like, I want her to be hot. Like, I had a guy friend tell me the kind of girl he's looking for, she must live in the gym.
Really?
Because she must live in the gym.
When would you have time to see him?
He goes, I want a girl that lives in the gym. I'm like, you're gross. Yeah. Like, it's kind of gross to me. But whatever, that's what he likes.
Yeah.
He wants, like, a gym rat girl.
Right.
That's always there, doing her gymmy stuff.
Uh-huh.
And, like, maybe they can go out for a protein shake together or something.
Yeah.
And maybe he could spot her when she's lifting weights. But, like, he's like, she better look like this.
Yeah.
She better have that. And, like, she must look this way. Like, the looks. And then he's like, and she's got to be, sweet and kind and generous and honest and trusting. It's like then those qualities come up. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's really backwards.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing is we want men and women want different things, and that's why we have problems, you know. But I think it sort of complements each other, you know, so it works. I think it works. You know, that's all we have is men and women. That's it. That's all you get to choose from. Yeah.
That's weird, David. Damn, that's a wrap. That's it, people. A man or a woman, make your pick.
So should we get into some music?
Sure, what do
I
we
discovered
have?
Another song yesterday, so I got to play this for you.
Which is probably 10 years old.
Yeah, probably. You know, I mean, I'd heard it before, but I didn't know who was singing it before, so.
It's Lady Gaga.
Right. Which one is it, Dina?
Just Dance.
Oh, I hate you for knowing this. I hate you for doing this. I love this song, man. You see, I discovered them 10 years later.
Oh. I've had a little.
what year is it from? I wonder.
2009 or 08? Oh, 08.
It's just that I don't like today's music, so I don't really get into it that much. So these things just fall through the cracks for me, you know?
Isn't your daughter listening to this?
Yeah, but I'm not with her when she listens to the music, you know? They put, like, headphones and shit, you know? It's such a cool song.
I love it. I love that you like the dancing music.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like... My son was saying she doesn't use that tone, what they call that? The
Auto-tune?
Auto-tune, right.
She does use auto-tune.
But she uses it all the fucking time.
Yeah. No, she doesn't use it like the way he's probably referring to,
right.
Which is like a lot of rap artists will alter and manipulate their voice.
Right.
Their voice. She uses it more as effects.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, as
plus the music
it.
Lends itself to it, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of techno and shit.
Yeah, no, she's auto-tune.
Yeah.
Like when I did a thing for the Disney Channel, doing the voiceover, and I had to sound like Lady Gaga.
Uh huh.
And the challenge was, she sounds pretty different vocally on a lot of her songs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Bad Romance is a complete opposite sound than this.
Yeah.
Like this is a little bit youthful, you
right.
know?
Uh-huh.
It's like lighter, but Bad Romance is a deeper kind of Have you heard Bad Romance?
Bad Romance?
Yeah,
no,
you
let's
put that
play
one.
That one. Okay.
Her voice on it is much more, it's like back in the throat, and it's, you know. So we had to kind of go through and listen to her songs to find out what kind of Lady Gaga sounds they wanted to have in the Disney Channel thing.
I see.
Yeah. So it was a lot of work, but it was good. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But they wanted me doing more Bad Romance.
Okay.
And then they wanted some of the Just Dance part.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now, that Bad Romance, is that a newer song?
It's been out for probably about
2 years.
2 years, but it's one of her later tracks to be released.
Yeah. So now, which are? I mean, do you want to play some newer ones? Do
no,
you know
but,
which ones?
Well, no.
Are
this
the
is her latest. This is her latest stuff.
Oh, it is
yeah.
her latest stuff. Okay, so that's cool. Just wait for the fucking commercial to end, and I think I'll start bringing
whoa.
Songs like in MP3 rather than play them off the internet and stuff.
This is a good song. Watch, Sam's gonna fall in love with this, you guys.
Really?
Auto-tune in that. Ready? Here we go.
Oh yeah, I've heard this one. Okay, I've heard this one. Yeah, this is sort of a really techno song.
Listen to that verse, are you?
I want you ugly, I want you disease. I want you everything as long as it's free. I want your love. La, 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 I want your love.
Does she write all her music, do you know?
I don't know.
I bet you she does.
The drama, the touch of your hair. I want your leather, study kiss and the sail. I want your love.
There you go.
Love, 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 I want your love. You know that I want you.
She looks so different in every video,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, she's so creative.
But she's very pretty, you know,
I think she's pretty,
when
yeah.
she doesn't have all the makeup and shit, you know? Yeah.
Oh, back down. But she has auto-tune and all this. It's very, very, very auto-tuned. But not like in the way where it's manipulating her sound where it's not recognizable. But she's creating a certain kind of, you know, feel to it. So we
yeah.
had to use a lot of auto-tune in song.
Really?
Yeah, that I did.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, when it's too obvious, it doesn't sound good, you know? But, yeah, I mean, because I think it's like laziness on the artist's part, you know, mm-hmm. to because I mean this like fixes problems with the singing too.
Well,
when
there's
you do it in the studio.
You know, there's a pitch modulator which basically obviously can correct the note and
right.
Yeah, they can do it. They can make any. I mean, they can make anybody sound decent and good for some people in a
right.
in a recording studio. But I don't think that auto-tune is so much as used for that as much as it used to be. I think auto-tune is really created more to create a sound.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's to create a specific kind of sound. Like Lil Wayne is a rapper, mm-hmm. and he's got auto-tune all through his stuff, and so is you know Jamie Foxx, and it's really cool. It's fun. Like mm-hmm. Put this one on. I love this song. Put on Lil Wayne. It's L-I-L and then Wayne, and then it's called Lollipop.
Uh-huh.
And it's got auto-tune in it, and it's a dirty song, but it is. It's got a cool beat. Again, it's been out 10 years, but you'll like it.
10 years. Lil Wayne.
Lollipop.
Okay. Lollipop. Okay, it's probably going to play a fucking commercial again. I don't know what that is.
Here we go. Listen to this. Uh-huh. Listen to his voice, too. Here we go.
I say he's so sweet. Come on, the rap better. So I let it play. I say I'm like a lollipop. She said I'm like a lollipop.
I love this song. Keep it playing. Here we go.
She said I'm like a lollipop. Shawty wanna fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You hear that?
Yeah.
Cool. Hold on. Here we go. Hold on. It gets good. It gets good. Hold on.
Does it?
Yeah, the verse. Turn up. Let me hear it. I like this part. Here we go. Ready?
Oh, that I'm mad. I'm hot. Back like mine. Even wear a hurt on her back like mine. Feel right when it's wrong, like mine.
You hear all the auto-tune?
Never hit a lose like mine. But man, I never seen a like
her. Isn't that cool? That's,
yeah, it is, but it's not my cup of tea there, you know?
No, I know. It's too thuggish for you, huh?
Yeah.
I love it.
Now,
though.
You want really old song? Let me. Well, it's not that old, but...
What, back in the crusty days?
Yo, listen up. Here's the story.
Did you ever hear this one? Isn't that like
you are so
I was thinking about it this morning. I mean, this is a song I've known for a long time.
Like him,
you know, give me a break.
Outside, blew his house with the blue little window and a blue Corvette, and everything is blue.
It's cool because it's
and everybody around.
Well, I'll tell you something about it after the chorus.
To listen, to listen, to listen, to listen.
I'm blue.
There's an auto-tune, you know?
Yeah.
That's why I was thinking about it. Now, this reminds me, this chick used to think he's saying, if I were green, I would die.
If I was green, I would die. Is that the
word? Dabba-dee-dabba-die.
My roommate thinks it's if I was green, I would die.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, so it's not the only one. I guess some people really think so. Wow. If I was green, I would die. Dabba-dee-dabba-die. Anyway, it's...
That's really funny.
Eiffel 65. You see, that's the thing, is that you got to understand something. My generation, we grew up on such great music. You know, I mean, the 70s have produced more classics than any other decade. And although this is from the 90s, obviously, but still, you know, so like people my age where we remember all the great music, when we listen to the new music today, it's hard to relate to it, you know, because it's so different.
No, it is.
So,
yeah.
You know, today it's more about performance and, you know, and looks and all that stuff
yeah.
and the videos and that. So that's why. So that makes you like long for the music from the past, you know,
yeah.
and that's why, you know, I would say that, you know, maybe in my song collection I must have, I don't know, maybe 300-400 songs or something, and almost none of them are new, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, all of them are like a few years old at least. And So, you know, but that's music. That's taste. That's why I'm always open. I don't criticize people's taste in music and stuff because it's a personal thing, you know. But that's the amazing thing about music is that it's a universal thing, you know.
So you like the 70s the most?
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite artists?
God, I mean, I can't even begin to tell you.
Well, I know you love George Michael, obviously.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, during that time you had Earth, Wind & Fire. You had a lot of one-hit wonders as well.
Benny Mardones, did he come out with...
Benny Mardones was in the 80s, I think.
Man, I love that song, Into the Night.
Yeah.
So
I know. Okay, well, let's play a little bit of
that. Let's play a little bit of that, but then we'll get into your 70s.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, yeah, I'm hard-pressed to think about it. But, yeah, I mean, all the hard rock, the Led Zeppelins and the Big Floyd, Pink Floyd and, you know, and all those. I was crazy about them, you know, Aerosmith and that. You know.
Well, and I think that the music atmosphere of that time had a total different direction. It had different... purpose, you know,
right.
Like they talk about the music industry in Hollywood. It's not the same days where Bob Dylan, where you would a guy comes on a bus with his guitar and gets off and he plays and he gets discovered. It's like the music industry is not anything remotely like that. And it was, I think back then, you know, the 60s, 70s, it's like you had a vision, you had a dream, you had the music was really its own movement.
Right.
And I think I didn't live during those decades, but there's like a big, huge reflection of, you know, the political climate and where the U.S. was at that time. And, you know, and now we're in such a different era of not only music, but what it reflects, you know,
right,
like the music reflects a lot of society now. And it's very, very different.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
and then in the 70s, you also had the disco era, you know, which
it
seems like almost everybody had a disco song at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And although we kind of laugh at it when we look back, it definitely started a trend.
Well,
to
it's kind of like,
you know,
modern day, like, you know, techno and how electronica and all those different things. Like disco is kind of that, I guess.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, I just go back to the way when I was a teenager, and I remember our parents hated our music too and stuff. They couldn't relate to it at all. So I just think it's a question of age, you know, of when you live and everything. Because the kids today are crazy about their music. They love it. You know, it's just that I don't get it. But here and there's a couple of good hits that I like, you know. So it depends. It depends on what's going on. But
Yeah,
let's have some Benny Mardones.
Oh, I love a song.
Yeah, it's an
you
amazing song.
You just love
song.
The song?
Yeah. Yeah, it reminds me a lot of good stuff. This was early 80s.
Pump it up. This was before I was born.
Before you were born, huh?
Or when I was born. 81?
Released in 1980.
Yep. Yeah.
She's just 16 years old. Leave her alone.
That's a one-hit wonder, right? I never heard from him again.
No, he came out with some other stuff, and then he had a comeback.
Separated by fools who don't know what love is yet. But I want you.
Back so long. I was 20 years old when this came out.
I was.
You were minus one.
I was possibly.
You were minus two, no?
I was in my dad's my dad's package, still hanging out. I guess I don't know, or maybe I was in my mom's. I don't know how it works.
Just a gleam in
their
eyes.
But because of my birthday, if I was born exactly 9 months later, which I don't think it is, because I think it's more like I think 9 months is really, you're closer to 10 months when you're born, I think. I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was 9 months born, then I was conceived on February 14th, which is Valentine's Day.
Oh.
And that kind of makes me feel cool in my own head. But who am I kidding? You know, they got divorced by the age I was five. My mom's been married six times. I'm sure there wasn't too much sentiment involved.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's funny we talk about divorce because last night I was talking to my son about it. And, you know, I mentioned to him, I said, you know, considering you grew up in a divorced home and everything, you turned out fine and healthy And that, and, you know, he said, yeah, he says, because I never known anything else. You know, I mean, we separated when he was 6 months old.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he says, I never knew anything different, which is true. Although we did get back together, we lived together for 3 years when the kids were a little, you know, older.
How long? So you guys separated when he was 6 months, and then how much later did y'all get back together?
About 6 years, 7 years later.
Oh my gosh, that much later?
Yeah.
Were you guys divorced?
We were divorced already. Yeah.
But you tried.
But you
again.
See, secretly, I just wanted to be with the kids, to live with the kids. You know, it wasn't that I really wanted to be with her, and that's why, you know, I mean, I'm surprised it even lasted 3 years. You know, because. I didn't want to be with her. I wanted to be with the kids, though. I wanted to play house again, you know?
Yeah.
So it was a good time, and, you know, he has good memories and stuff. But, yeah, like, now it's different, you know? It's really different now.
I think divorce is, even though it's become so normal, you know, it's become such the standard, you know, at least one or two divorces is totally whatever.
Right.
As a kid going through divorce, and I've been through so many divorces and breakups, I've been through... Well, my mom was married 6 times. I wasn't there for all that. But my dad went through his stuff. He went through 2 major crazy relationships.
Right.
Well, 3, actually, if you include my mom. And it's a very traumatic thing for kids.
Right.
Like, you know, not everybody's story is the same. Sometimes people, like in your situation, I don't know if it's your situation, but people get married, they get divorced, and they can still have a peaceful relationship, and the kids are stable, and there's a even though it's not ideal, they work through it, and... Mm-hmm. There's a stabilizing factor there, I guess. For me, it was complete opposite. It was just so unstable that, you know, I remember those feelings and emotions of the kid. He always feeling kind of scared, feeling like unsafe, feeling like you don't want to make one parent mad or hurt the other parent's feelings. Mm-hmm. You don't, you know, there's just always this tension, and it's and the kids aren't built to carry adult stress, you know what I mean? So it's weird how it affects kids is interesting.
Absolutely, you know, and that's the thing. I think my daughter took it harder because she had, you know, she's seen us together and everything. But like I said, he hasn't, so so it wasn't that hard for him, you know. But
how did your
but
daughter?
But still, we gave him a little taste of it, so I'm glad about that, you know. now she's remarried, so they have kind of like, you know, complete home now. And
is he close to his stepdad?
Yeah, I guess so. Mm-hmm. I guess so, yeah.
Is that weird?
Yeah, it is weird.
That's probably a really weird feeling, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is, because, I mean, they become probably closer, well, not really closer than I am with my kids.
But, like, they get to see the day in, day out.
So. Yeah, exactly. They see them all the time, you know? So, and that's something that I miss a lot. So, yeah, you know, but that's the way things work. What are you going to do? They're happy, and that's what matters, you know?
Yeah, I think it's just sad for everyone. I mean, mothers, dads, everyone. It's like, I've met a lot of men, actually, out in L.A. that they're separated from their kids, and it really kills them on the inside. And
it really does,
and
you
it,
know?
Like, they feel like, for some men, they feel like the family went on, and they were just pushed out.
Right.
And someone else is in their family.
Yeah, especially when the woman who is the one who's leaving, you know?
With kids, yeah.
Yeah, with the kids.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah, it is rough. You know, I mean, I went through some hard times when we first separated, you know, because I found that she was bringing guys home and the kids were like really small, you know, like they were like 5 and 2 or something or 3, you know, so I didn't. So that bothered me a lot. You know, I mean, I was afraid that, you know, being that small and stuff, that they would start thinking someone else is their father.
You know? Yeah.
And it made me go crazy.
Yeah.
I went fucking crazy. Yeah, it was a very hard time for me at the time. And I couldn't understand why the woman automatically gets the kids. You know, I mean, you know, today when you look at it, if you have to choose, then usually the woman's probably the better answer. But not necessarily, you know.
No,
that's what
true,
I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, I think I could have raised them just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's the way it goes. And the laws are really... not on the father's side.
Mm-mm.
Not very often.
Yeah, and especially in California, I think, too.
Yeah.
It's very hard for men.
Bad.
I think it's really, really hard for men.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you have deep pockets, yeah, you pay. You pay and you pay and you pay.
Yeah. That's rough. But I just think that, like, As a kid, you're living in someone else's choices. Mm-hmm. You're growing up, and you didn't ask to have this family or these mom or dad or their whatever. And you're constantly, if they decide they want to leave a relationship or they want to bring someone else into the equation or they want to fight or they want to get back together or whatever, or they want to move a million times, you're just kind of along for the ride. And it's interesting to kind of see as an adult looking now at my childhood, because, you know, you don't understand it. You just experience it and you feel it and you deal right. And you cope with it. But it was extremely tragic. I mean, I don't even know how I really do believe God saved me, because I mean, I would go to school and I can understand now, like, if kids go to school and they're doing poorly in school or something, if their home life is really bad, because it makes you and gives you anxiety mm-hmm. and stress. Like, I even say now, and even though I just came out of a rough situation these last, 3 months, I would take the stress of being an adult and the hardest things in my life mm-hmm. any day over my childhood.
Really?
I would never want to go back to that, ever.
Wow.
So
now, you see, that's terrible, because a lot of people enjoyed their childhood.
No.
I know I did. You know?
I mean, it wasn't that I didn't have anything good about it. I have some good memories, but for the most part, the level of stress and the feeling of I can't make a decision for myself, I can't earn money, mm-hmm. I can't take care of myself, and they don't want to take care of me, you know, those feelings. Yeah. It's like I would never, ever want to go back to that,
yeah,
ever.
That's a terrible feeling for a child.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the cool thing is like, I always feel excited. I mean, even though life can be really hard sometimes, I still feel a sense of, well, I have choice, mm-hmm. and I have somewhat freedom, and I have, you know, options, and I feel that feeling, whereas, mm-hmm. you know, as a kid, you're just, I mean, I was waiting to get out all the time. Always knew I was going to move away. Always
really?
Did. Yep.
Yeah.
I knew I was going to leave home.
What age did you finally leave?
I left. Well, I mean, I moved out right out of high school.
Right.
But then I
But
moved
you stayed
here.
With your aunt. And
well, that. I live with my aunt. Well, the thing is I only lived with my dad till I was about 15, 16.
Mm, okay.
And so I stopped living with him and then lived with my aunt.
Right.
And that was that's not really what I'm referring to. Like, she was super cool and, you know, we had our ups and downs, like a mother-daughter relationship. But she's like the most amazing woman I know. And she's a motivational speaker. She writes children's books. She's crazy. You'll ask her to sing you her new children's song she wrote. She'll sing it on the spot. Like,
really?
She's nuts. She's like me. She's like, loses everything, forgets everything, but she's like a freaking, you know, maniac. She's amazing. She's amazing. Anyway, heart of gold. So living with her was like really like a huge godsend, because all of a sudden I met somebody. I didn't really know her very well. I met somebody that I was like. And in all those eccentric ways, she was musical, she was outgoing, she was funny, she was very strong and strong-willed, and she encouraged all the creative stuff in me. And I didn't have anybody doing that before, you know, nobody was investing in my life on that level. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm living with this aunt who just thinks I'm amazing, and it was just such a God thing. I really felt like God. It's cool to know there's somebody that you're related to that you're like, and that they like you, you know?
Yeah.
And she really did. She believes in me so much. And even though I kind of, I've disappointed her in some ways, she still really, really believes in me. And, you know,
you see, that's cool. You know,
oh,
because,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I've always had family where people got along and people love each other and that. So it's hard for me to imagine your experience, you know, and I can imagine it was very difficult.
Well, and you know,
a kid needs the attention, they need the love, they need
I mean, if I compare it to other people's stories, because I know other people that have had much, 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 much harder.
Right.
You know, I don't feel bad at all. But it is what it is, and it affects you still. So it's one of these things where, you know, I'm grateful for what I had. I mean, I do love my mom and my dad, and even though we're not very close, they're people too, and we all make mistakes, and you know, I'm kind of on that side of things. And
right. But that's the mature way, I think. You know, somewhere inside.
Well, it takes time to get there. You know.
Yeah. But somewhere inside, you probably missed that. It probably left a little.
Oh
hole,
my gosh.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, my dad was emotionally absent growing up. So when I went to go live with him when I was 10, I didn't know him because I lived with my mom. I didn't really know him. So I went to go live with him when I was 10, and it was like right when I started to like get boobs and things like that, and it was like that. You know,
needed a mother at the time.
Well, and it was just, I remember wanting to feel close to my dad, and I remember wanting to, I was standing near him, and I wanted to, like, lean on him and put my head on his arm.
Right.
And I felt stupid.
Really?
Yeah, like wow. I felt like he didn't want me to touch him all the time.
Wow.
And I felt like I couldn't hug him or anything like that.
Yeah. See, that's tough for a kid.
Yeah. Well, it affects you because if we're going to get all into my stuff. Because, I've noticed that I had a pattern in my adult life of really being attracted to emotionally unavailable men that are totally into me, but I always have to work really hard for them to earn their approval.
Right.
And I've noticed that comes exactly like with my dad, you know? Yeah.
See, I told you, your issue is love me, daddy, you know? And a lot of women have that.
Well, it's not like it was. I feel like it's not the same.
No, it's not the same, but it leaves some kind of a vacuum
inside.
Yeah, but
I've kind of worked through some of it. I mean, I still have some ways to go, but I've worked through a lot of it. You know, I really do believe in God, and I believe God's our ultimate father. So I've had to kind of, and I still am, learning that, you know, what's God's ideal for a relationship and what is it, you know, all those things like value, self-worth, you can't find that in other people ever, you know, but no, growing up as a kid and not having having that kind of relationship and that connection it leaves a mark, you know, it definitely leaves a mark.
Yeah.
But I also kind of look at it like, you take the good with the bad because I didn't get that kind of support and get coddled in a way. Mm-hmm. And I was always singing, you know, I was always like, I'm going to be a star, right. You know, it kind of in a way gave me more drive,
right.
And helped me be strong. I mean, right. People where I live, most of them don't leave.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. They stay there for
the fact that I even moved is kind of a big deal and then moved to Los Angeles and then I'm in the game. You know what I mean? That's a huge, huge deal.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's been pretty.
Okay, well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And, well, thank you all for joining us. We'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio Studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.